Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And I am so thrilled. I have a guest in the studio. My goodness, it is wonderful to welcome Sister Hildegard. Hi, Sister Hildegard.
Hello, Patsy. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
Excited to be here.
Oh, well, I saw that you were typing right along with my music.
I was. The music just calls to me.
Oh, I'm so happy about that. Oh, Sister Hildegard, you look so well, you
so nunnish.
Yes,
just very nunnish. Don't be afraid, dear.
No.
Just say what's on your mind. It's okay.
Is that all right?
Yes, it's okay.
Well, she gave me a blessing. Oh boy, I am lucky.
I can tell you're a nice one.
Oh.
Now I've met some ones that aren't that nice, but I could tell you're a nice one.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. Oh boy.
Okay. Well, you should be.
Well, honored. So honored. Well, what are you doing here today? Well, you have some plans, right?
Well, just to make a short story long, the author, Rita Barrow, she's the author of the Kooky Mystery Ghost in the Camper series, mystery series. She's an author, she writes, but she's very shy. So I knew she asked me to come and speak with you because I'm not really shy, and I noticed that. And I agree to help her out. I mean, she's just a handful. You have to hold her hand quite a bit, but she's a marvelous author. So I'm here to talk to you about her very first book in the series, Wheeler Dealer.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, this is so exciting because this is Rita's second series.
Yes.
And I think her first series featured you, as a matter of fact.
Oh, it did. And I've been talking to her about this because she's been a little slim on inviting me back and my friend. Well, actually, the nuns. We are the nuns of the Order of St. Anthony. You know St. Anthony.
Oh, yes.
He's our big saint. You know, he's the one you look to when you lose something or you're lost.
Oh.
So we are the nuns of St. Anthony, and my right-hand sister is Sister Matilda, and she's just as sharp as a tack. But she's like, she's a little bit too verbose, so I thought it would be better if I speak.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I think so.
So let's get right into this wonderful new series that Rita developed.
Sure.
You know, there she was. She did one series, and what the heck? She said, why not go for another one?
Yes. The first series was the Mary Catherine Mahoney series, and it was a nice series about Mary Catherine, who it was based on someone I knew from St. Mary's. She also was a little bit of a problem. It's a great series. It's a fun series. It's about Mabel and Irma and their vintage camper. So Mabel, her husband, Jack, Mabel had the perfect life. She was married to a doctor. She was 60-ish. And, you know, she was happy, grandchildren, baking. And then Jack lost it. He dumped her for I hate to use the term, a gold digger, a bimbo. As young as their daughter, Bianca. So I usually don't gossip, but I think, you should know this. I think you should know this. So anyway, Mabel says, Mabel was sitting around Long Island drinking vodka, playing bingo, putting up with the old farts that came to bingo with their, you know, those blue pills. You know what I'm talking about. So anyway, she says, okay, I'm not going to do this. She decides to purchase a vintage Airstream camper. And so she does. And she hits the road. She hits the road with a group of other friends. Her very dear friend, Lily, and her husband, Bob. And the camper comes haunted with a spirit. And this spirit is stuck in purgatory. And her name is Irma.
Sister Matilda, is somebody calling you from above? It's not St. Peter anyway.
No, it's I'm sorry, excuse me.
That's all right, sister.
Here, let me do this.
As long as it's not Saint Peter calling you.
You know what, Matilda, Sister Matilda usually takes care of these things for me. And no, it's just somebody. It's one of my nuns. They're a handful. Where was I?
Oh, yes. Well, after the vodka,
we were on the road. Anyway, she meets the camper comes haunted with Irma. Now, Irma is stuck in purgatory. And, you know, purgatory is where you go when you're just not quite up to speed to go to heaven. Mm. You got to kind of wait in purgatory. It's like waiting in a doctor's office. You know how that goes. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Irma. Yes. Irma, she's probably going to be in purgatory for a while. She was a hooker. A hooker, but she was a high class hooker, and then she got promoted to run the house, the cat house, whatever you call those things. I don't know anything about it. So anyway, that's the beginning of the story. They're out on the road, and they're in the beautiful town of Savannah, and so Irma speaks with Saint Anthony, who basically reminds her of her parole officer. You know how that goes. Well, maybe, or do you?
No, no.
I don't think so. You just don't look the type. But you know what? You got to watch out for types like you, the quiet types. Anyway, so where was I? Oh, my memory. Where's Sister Matilda? Anyway, so Saint Anthony suggests to her, look, Irma, he's kind of, you know, authoritarian. You better get on the ball, otherwise you're going to be stuck here in purgatory for a long time until, you know what, freezes over. So Irma decides, and she does a little investigation. She finds out that if she solves murders or helps those still living, she will get a lot of credit. So she hooks up with Mabel, and they become friends, and they solve murders. They become sleuths. And so that's what they do in the first book, Wheeler Dealer. They solve the murder of a Wheeler Dealer. So that's what happens in Savannah.
Oh, and they're having fun with this RV.
Oh, yes, yes. And that's another reason why Rita Moreau asked me to speak. You've heard of nuns on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my nuns and I were the nuns on the camper. So, and we do that. You know, the nuns that everybody knows about, the nuns on the bus, were the nuns on the camper. We have a camper, and actually it's an Airstream, and we go out on the road and we do our thing. we like to have fun too, but it's just between us girls.
So I assume that Mabel was hoping that she would get rid of Irma after one little murder.
Oh, she was, but it looks as if that did not happen. Mm. She really was hoping that was enough to kind of
nudge her
out the front door.
Up to the pearly gates.
Because Irma is a handful.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about Irma. She's an interesting personality. I think she has a rather large closet.
She does.
Tell us about
she
that.
She does. Well, in her closet, which is someplace in cyberspace, she has more costumes than a Spielberg movie set. And she loves to wear these costumes. And so she wears them when they're doing their sleuthing. She might show up as a, like a Navy SEAL type. Or a police officer, you know, like Rita Meter Maid, that type. So she's very theatrical.
I would say this is a little bit disconcerting to Mabel.
It is. And Mabel's friend Lily, because they never know what to expect with Irma. Irma is just, she's just a handful. She really is.
Yeah, does Mabel ever think she better get back on the vodka when she's dealing with Irma?
She's back on the vodka. She is, poor thing. Yeah, she is.
And tell us a little bit about Lily, because I like Lily.
Lily is, she's a saint. I call her Saint Lily. She is a saint. She's just a wonderful being. She really is. She's just a good person.
And now they're meeting along the way. They meet some more interesting characters and some that are going to follow them through the book.
Well, they do.
Who is the young man they meet there in Savannah?
This young man is Joe. He is an aspiring country music singer, and he decides to hit the road with them. And he comes in handy because he's very mechanical, so they talked him into joining the group. And later on in the second book, Murder on Honky Tonk Row, which takes place in Nashville, Joe meets Mabel's daughter, and they become sweethearts. They become sweethearts.
Well, you didn't mention too much about that, about the children, because Mabel, after her husband went a little bonkers, she has children. And tell us a little bit about the children, because I think they were not too happy about her heading out in this RV.
No, they weren't, which is where Lily helps her. She can confide in Lily, and Lily keeps her on this straight and narrow path. Her children, especially her eldest daughter, Margaret, who's a lawyer, you know, the kind you want to hire if you know where the bodies are buried, she wants to show... How should I say this delicately? Well, she just wants to put Mabel in a nursing home type place, a retirement home. Let me call it a retirement home. So she's very, very, very controlling, very controlling.
And I didn't get the feeling that Mabel wanted to ever end up in one of those retirements.
Oh, no. But she knows how to handle Margaret. Margaret's very uptight, like a rubber band. So when they sit and talk, Mabel brings her some wine.
Oh.
And then maybe a little bit more wine. And then she relaxes. She becomes her real self. Yeah.
And Margaret has a son.
Yes.
Tell us about this.
Yes.
This must be something special for Mabel.
It is. It's a grandson, her only grandson, and his name is Sid. And he is the love of her life. You know how women love their grandchildren, more so than their children. You know, their children sometimes become problematic. They talk to me all the time about that. But she loves Sid, and Sid adores Mabel. They're just so cute together.
And Sid's clever.
Oh,
he helps
very
her with,
clever.
Him, with
he
some
help,
of her electronic...
Well, Mabel is 60-something, and you know, you have to rely on the young folks to help you with that stuff. I rely on Sister Matilda. Amazingly, she's pretty smart in that area.
So after they leave Savannah,
yes,
and they head to, as you said, book two, it's Murder on Honky Tonk Row.
Yes, and that takes place in Nashville, Music City.
So what happens there?
Well, Mabel and Irma, you know, they're checking out. They're doing a little touristy thing. You know, it is Nashville, and they're visiting the honky tonks, and they're having a good time. You know, they're relaxing, and they walk into one particular honky tonk. And Irma can see two lost souls. And these two souls have been there for a long time. She becomes friendly with these two souls. They are connected by their love. And they had both been murdered outside this particular honky-tonk. So Irma just has to solve this, and she gets Mabel to agree because she knows that if the murder is solved, they will be free to move on. And it's just a beautiful love story.
And Mabel's ready because she thinks maybe this will be
yes,
the final one.
Yes, yes. Oh, Mabel is, she is always ready. And just between you and I think Mabel enjoys it too. Gives her something to do, something, you know, besides drinking vodka.
So tell us some more about the children that get involved with these stories.
Yes. Well, in Nashville, it seems as if her daughter, I can't think of her name, her daughter comes to visit her, and she is a lost soul. She is approaching her 40s, and you know, when a woman approaches her 40s, they start to think about their life. And she is thinking about her life, and that tick-tock, that clock, that biological clock is ticking. So she's a little disconcerted. She has been on Broadway trying to make it big as an actress, and that has not really happened. So she comes for a visit. She thinks, well, what the heck, I'll visit Mom. And while she's there, she meets Joe, and she realizes, and Joe does too, that they are connected in more ways than one, and eventually they marry. So it's a sweet story.
So Rita's having a lot of fun with this family that she's, this whole, all the family.
Yes.
That she's created. So what happens then? We get back on the road.
Well, we're back on the road. Their leader is Lily's husband, Bob. Bob was like special forces, and he still has that personality about him. It just comes with his nature. He also was he's a retired homicide detective from L.A., kind of like Michael Connelly's character, Bosch. So Bob gets him back on the road. He runs the deal. He runs the joint, so to speak, and they go on to the Badlands. And in the Badlands, Bob is approached by a Marine buddy, and to find out what happened to his son Danny, who either was he pushed or fell off, you know what they call at Mount Rushmore, they call it the secret chamber. That's what happened. Somebody, he fell, they found him, but his father thinks there's more to it, and he was pushed. So they get involved in solving that particular murder.
So altogether, Rita is just going right across the country in this vintage camper.
Yes.
And I think that's partly based on her own experiences, right?
Yes. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Yes. She and her wonderful husband, George, on his bucket list was to travel west in a motorhome. So, and they did in a vintage Bluebird, which is another type of motorhome, like an Airstream. And they had a wonderful time. In fact, the author bases some of her experiences from that motorhome trip in her books. The next book will be Murder in the Rockies. And in that particular book, this is just a little snippet. Don't tell anybody, but your readers and your viewers, your listeners get a little heads up here. Lily gets in trouble. Yeah. So it's a big deal. Yeah.
And Lily has quite a background, an interesting background herself, because she had some excitement in her life, too.
She is a professional poker player on the poker circuit. I don't know anything about that, but that's how Lily gets in trouble. She decided one day her and Mabel were out walking around. They saw this casino, and Lily just said, why don't we go in for a few minutes? Well, she sits down at the blackjack table, which is Lily's game, and it leads to a lot of problems.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Very intriguing.
Yes, it is.
A nice
it
teaser.
Is. Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
so many people do love playing poker and watching poker.
They
so
do.
This is going to be lots of fun.
I think so.
And Lily is a wonderful, wonderful person, and she's really kept Mabel going through
these times.
Because it was a bit of a shock for Mabel to have her husband go.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. And since that has happened, karma, I do believe in karma, yeah. Whatever you want to call her. So the bimbo, the gold digger, they had twins, and she didn't take to being a mom. So she left with his name is Jack, Dr. Jack. He's a plastic surgeon. A lot of his money, and left the two little babies with Jack to change the diapers. He's learning.
And yes. He has quite a... interesting background himself, because he was involved with some interesting shady people. That led actually to that first mystery there in Savannah.
Yes, and that is so true. It makes him a little nervous. He is a plastic surgeon, and he's a plastic surgeon. Well, now he has a government job. He's a plastic surgeon for the CIA, you know, changing identities for the spies that come in from the cold. But before that, he was hooked up with the mob. You know, sometimes those guys need to change their identity. And he decided, for safety reasons, to keep pictures of the before and after of the mob guys, you know.
That's a dangerous thing.
Yes. And what makes him nervous is that he decided to give the it's in a safety box. He decided to give the key to Mabel. And now Mabel has the key. Poor Jack.
Poor Jack.
He needs to go to confession, I think. Mm-hmm.
That's excellent advice, Sister Hildegard. Yes. You are very, I think you are doing a marvelous job here of explaining and telling us about Rita, because as you said, she is a shy person.
She's shy. Writers are shy.
Yes.
They're introverts.
Yes. She spends all her early, she wakes up, I understand, very early in the morning.
She does.
Starts writing.
That's her time to write.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so now she's just about finished with book four, which I think will be seen pretty soon.
I'm hoping, she's hoping it will be out this summer.
Well, this
if
is
she fun. Keeps her, you know what, in the writing scene.
Yes, and she doesn't join Mabel with the vodka.
So far she's good.
She's good at that.
She's staying off of that. She does have a little problem with eating cheesecake. She loves her sweet, so she has to watch that.
Well, Sister, I think you're doing a wonderful job with her. You are keeping her on the straight and narrow.
Well,
I think
it's not an easy job.
You know,
but that's what I do. I'm a nun. That's what nuns do.
Yes. Having you there to support her, I think, is great.
Yes.
It's really fantastic.
Yes.
And,
thank you. Thank you. And you're very nice.
Oh, well,
you're not Catholic, are you?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But, no, I...
Well, you... Okay. All right. Well, we won't discuss that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Sister, yeah.
You seem very nice, like you were raised Catholic.
Oh, thank you so much, Sister. As a matter of fact, I spent a lot of time in the Catholic Church with my very best friend, who has wonderful name, Marcia Sue Loretta LeClaire. Isn't that a wonderful name?
What a beautiful name.
What a beautiful name. And I spent I went with her always to the Catholic Church.
I knew there was some sort of good influence with you.
She was a great influence, yes.
Yeah.
And I know.
I can tell. I've been a nun a while. And I think you're okay.
Okay. Well, thank you
so much.
I'm living in hope.
I'll pray for you, just the same.
I know you will.
I'll get the rosary out.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic. Now, you know, Sister, we have to take a commercial break. Big Ed in the control room is going to play some commercials for us.
Oh, is that Big Ed?
He seems like a nice fellow, too. He's delightful.
I think he might need a little help. I could tell.
Well, you know, Big Ed, before we go to commercials, would you like to hear a book buzz that... a promo that was done by Bria Burton for Sci-Fi.
Oh, okay. Yes. I love Sci-Fi.
Okay, well, we'll play that because Bria Burton has joined me here on Joy on Paper. You know, it's going to be the 7th anniversary of Joy on Paper on Thursday.
Did she go to Catholic school?
I don't know. We'll have to ask her.
Okay.
But, you know, she's a little bit... spacy. So we'll see.
Then she probably went to Catholic school.
Maybe. Okay, so here goes. Here's Bria Burton's.
Oh, okay.
Hello, fellow sci-fi readers. This is author Bria Burton reporting for Joy on Paper with your science fiction book buzz. Today's communique to galaxies near and far includes a 2021 debut novel, Recorder by Kathy McCrum. This is the first book in the Children of the Consortium series, and I'm eagerly awaiting the release of book 2 later this year. Recorder is available in print, ebook, and audiobook. Now, let's download the book buzz. What does it mean to be a person?
Recorder is a genetically enhanced human with neural and optical implants and a jellyfish-like drone companion to further skyrocket her superhuman abilities. The drone also serves as a disciplinarian should she disobey the rules of the consortium or strays from her function of accurately recording events. On a distant moon during Recorder's first mission, the rescue team investigating a dead research station makes dark discoveries, while Recorder suffers a devastating blow and can no longer record. Back on the ship, she stands to lose everything when they return, but in time, she connects with her other team members to solve the mysteries of the dead station while exploring the intricacies, subtleties, and nuances of human behavior and communication. Friendships are forbidden for Recorders. And now she has so much more to lose. A thread of hope and faith weaves throughout this riveting, emotionally charged debut, staged in an Orwellian society. Author Kathy McCrum's short fiction has appeared in several magazines and anthologies. She is an editor at Havoc Publishing and a freelance editor. This is Bria Burton with your futuristic fiction fix, signing off.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and now in the studio. I was so happy that Sister Hildegard was with us, and now I have Sister Matilda. And Sister Matilda is here because she knows a lot about the ins and outs of publishing that she's learned as they've been watching Rita Moreau through the years. And so I know it's something that you can talk to us about, Matilda. Sister Matilda.
Thank you. Thank you, Patsy, for inviting me. And yes, I do know quite a bit. I'm Sister Hildegard, who spoke prior to me, like just a few minutes ago. She relies on me quite a bit because I am I'm smart. Let's just put our cards on the table. And I have watched the author Rita Moreau since she was a student at St. Mary's Catholic High School. And she has grown. She's grown, and she's learned quite a bit. And she turns to me for advice.
Well, you know, because once she decided to start writing, there was a lot that she had to learn.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, there was. I mean, from the beginning, you know, she would come to me. She's just, you have to hold her hand a lot. But anyway, yeah, she would come to me, and one of the very first things she learned as a newbie author was the importance of a very good editor. It's very important, very important. And so I helped her with that.
Well, of course, you're well known in among the nuns that you are the most organized and the most logical of all of them.
Yes, some of them refer to me as the teacher. That in fact, some of them are. It's a little strange. They see me and I think they kind of run away because I do love to give little history lessons. I love to share my knowledge, and some are a little resistant to that. But they are good nuns.
So I know that one of the things that
I take their names down.
Well, but you don't carry a ruler like they did in the old days, right?
Oh, yes. I've had this ruler long time. And so does Sister Hildegard. In fact, Sister Hildegard's ruler, I believe, was blessed by the Pope. A long time ago. We both have rulers. So it goes with your habit.
It goes with
you,
your...
You know what a habit is. Uh-huh. It's the stuff.
Yes, well, it's lovely.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, I know one of the things that Rita did was that she got an Audible version of her book. And did she enjoy that process?
Oh, she did. She did. That was... along with writing a novel, Rita decided to write a series. Readers like to get, there are readers out there who can read a novel in a day, and they're voracious readers. And so it's good for an author to write a series, because if you write one book, what they call a standalone, you have to be pretty good at that. So along with writing a book is an Audible, because nowadays, you know, people are busy. They should take the time to either read the book. You know, some people enjoy the book in their hands, you know, like the Bible, or they enjoy their ebook or their tablet or the Kindle. So the rest of us like to put these little headphones on and listen to the Audible version.
Well, and that, I understand that's a big seller nowadays.
Oh, it is. It is. It's for authors, it's a very big seller. In fact, it's something authors, if they haven't, they definitely would want to look into it and become a little bit more smart, a little bit more knowledgeable about it.
Now, of course, during this pandemic-y time, it was difficult for anyone to get out there.
Yes.
But I understand that you might encourage Rita to get out there and start doing some events.
Yes. Actually, in a way, it was a perfect time for writers because, well, what do writers do? They pretty much, most of them are kind of shy and quiet. Well, I shouldn't say that, but the ones that look like the author Rita Moreau is, she's somewhat of an introvert, unlike me. And I try to help her with that too. So in a way it was a good time. It wasn't a good time for us, but for writers it was a good time because they pretty much had nowhere to go. They had no reason to leave their computer. So Rita got busy, and so things are now blossoming like flowers in a garden. And I do have a garden. It has some special herbs in it. They're really good herbs. Another story another time. So Rita is very excited because she is, and I'm working with her on that, she is trying to get back out and meeting her readers.
Well, and... she does get out every once in a while to come here to the studio.
She does.
She makes these wonderful promotions for authors that we call the Book Buzzes.
Yes.
And I think we're going to play one right now. We're going to play one that she did for Carol J. Perry.
She's fabulous. I love her books.
Yes, and she's one of these authors who also gets up at 5 in the morning and starts writing.
And she's with that Kensington Publishing Company. Oh, she's wonderful.
That's right. Wonderful. And just like Rita, she started a second series.
Yes.
And so
I've read the book.
Yes. And so Rita did a book buzz for her, and we're going to play that right now.
The pre-order.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where you can kind of get the book ahead of time.
That's right. Okay.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with today's book buzz. If you are looking for a mystery that you won't be able to put down, then I have just the book for you.
Be My Ghost, a Haunted Haven Mystery Book 1. Cozy mystery fans, you'll be thrilled with Carol J. Perry's Be My Ghost Book 1 in her new Haunted Haven mystery series set in Florida. Maureen Daughtry is a smart, forthright protagonist of this exceptional paranormal cozy. As Publishers Weekly notes in their starred review, Maureen is a breath of fresh air in the cozy world. No ruminating on her looks or past tragic loves, no drowning her sorrows in cookies and cake. It all starts on a cold and rainy day in Boston when Maureen's career as a sportswear buyer hits a snag just before Halloween, when the department store declares bankruptcy. The former buyer of the year needs to start job searching, and fast. Salvation comes when she receives a mysterious inheritance. An inn in Haven, Florida, a quaint scenic town on the Gulf of Mexico, hidden away from highways and theme parks. The letter from the lawyer doesn't explain why someone named Penelope Josephine Gray would leave her a century-old Haven House Inn. Should she pick up and head south? Why not? Finn, her golden retriever who flunked guide dog classes because he's too friendly, would probably like to get some fun in the sun. Better than walking the cold and wet streets of Boston in October. Maureen hopes it will be a fresh start. She doesn't know what to expect, but what the heck? It's an adventure. So she packs up her car, and with Finn, riding shotgun, and a box of Cane's Donuts between them, she heads south. From the way Finn's wagging his tail, it looks like he approves of the move. The lawyer didn't tell her much, just that over the years, many famous people vacationed in Florida, and many of them stayed at Haven Inn. When she pulls up to the old place, she is enchanted by the rocking chairs on the front porch. But within hours, before she can even unpack her bags, Maureen discovers a prominent ghost hunter's lifeless body on the inn's front porch. What was he doing there? Not the welcome she expected. Worse, soon the police have their eyes on her as a suspect. She has no friends in Florida to help her, but some of the inn's everlasting tenants in the form of ghosts offer their otherworldly talents in order to help her solve the mystery. The ghosts, in a refreshing departure from most paranormal cozies, don't take center stage in entertaining subplots such as her efforts to discover why Miss Gray left her the inn keep the pages turning in this fast-paced cozy. The Haunted Haven series will beguile and bewitch readers, and have them eagerly looking forward to further adventures with Maureen and, of course, her pal Finn. Look forward to more fun and mystery in glorious Haven, Florida. Fabulous book.
Yes.
Yes, I won't tell your listeners too much about it, but it's a great book, and it is a page-turner.
And
I love
the wonderful thing about this new series that Carol developed is that it's set here in our area.
Yes.
So a lot of the places we recognize, I enjoy that.
That's exciting. And readers love that.
They do.
You know?
And, and of course, one of the things that Rita does in her book, she mentions real places.
Yes. And most of them are in Florida. She does have a fictional town of Fish Camp, but, you know, everything is wacky in Florida, of course.
Well, yes. And of course, for her Mary Catherine Mahoney series, Fish Camp plays the primary location.
Yes.
And you're familiar with this, and
yes, I am. The author is she's working on. She has an idea for the next Mary Catherine book. Her readers are. They're waiting, and they're frankly they're getting a little tired of waiting. But anyway, another story. There are two characters in Fish Camp. Wealthy women. In fact, they all kind of hang out at the book club. It's a book club. They call it a book club. Widows, divorcees, and other types of, wealthy dodgers or whatever you call it, whatever that word is. I'm sorry. But anyway, Rita does have an idea with two characters from the book club. They're both wealthy, and one in particular is involved in sports fishing. She has a huge boat. She loves to do tournaments, and of course she has a captain, and it leads to, of course, some kind of murder. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea, and it should be fun. It should be fun.
Isn't it wonderful that authors can just keep going with ideas?
It's amazing. It amazes me, and it takes a lot to amaze me.
Yes. Have you ever considered writing a book yourself?
Oh, sister? I have. And I think it would be a memoir. I should write about myself.
Yes.
I have a lot to share with, a lot of history lessons.
Well, you know, sister, it is wonderful that Rita has, well, of course, you are wonderful, and all of the sisters who have really kept Rita going all these years.
Yes.
They've inspired her.
Yes.
She learned a great deal in school.
She has. And she's turned out pretty good.
We
do pray for her a lot.
Well, you know, sister, it's wonderful. I just am always so thrilled to meet people who enjoy reading books as much as I enjoy reading, meeting people who write books.
Yes.
Because it is so important to be a reader.
Oh, it is. It is. Especially our young folk. Their nose is in, what their nose is in. And it would be good if they spend some time reading, maybe even the classics.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an excellent idea. Perhaps one day you can just do up a whole reading list for kids.
I could probably do that. When would you like me back?
Yeah,
I'll be happy to.
Well,
oh my goodness, let me write that down.
Okay.
My memory's not that good, but
okay.
I will work on that.
You'll come back?
And, I'll be happy to.
You know, you might have a nice little list because I am going to do, throughout the summer, I want to really concentrate on getting more kids involved in reading.
Oh, I think you have a gentleman that is one of your special correspondents. What's his name? Devon Miller. And maybe he can share the spotlight with me.
Yes,
yeah.
The two of you.
Oh, it would be
wonderful. I will have both of you here in the studio. Devon will love it. And
he seems like such a nice young man.
You can
He's probably gone to Catholic school.
Yeah, you can probably handle the more classical ones, and he can talk about some of the new releases, some of the new authors.
Yes, he's probably a little bit more up to date on that genre than I am, but yes, I'd be happy to.
Because
I'll get
really
right to work on
we want to encourage, and of course, one of the things I do here on Joy on Paper is I encourage people to check out our website, to listen to Devon Miller's wonderful, wonderful book buzz.
He has a radio voice.
Doesn't he? Fantastic voice.
Yes.
And to just go there and find one of the books that you like. You can listen to the different ones and order them straight from Amazon and have them sent to a children's hospital near you.
A wonderful
idea. A Catholic hospital.
Oh.
St. Jude's, for example.
Oh,
wonderful, wonderful group of people.
What a wonderful idea.
Isn't that great?
Because, tell me if I'm wrong, I heard something about the books and children and like the well, here locally it's the All Children's Hospital, that it used to be we could drop off books, but because of the pandemic, the children cannot share their books. So
that's right.
It's very important, very important. Maybe your readers, if they want to do something good.
Yes.
It is Lent.
That's true. It is
yes,
Lent.
Yes, it is Lent. It'd be good.
It would be the ideal thing to do.
Yes, and they won't end up in purgatory like Irma.
Yeah.
And possibly Mabel, but we won't go there.
Yeah, we won't go there. But that's a wonderful thing to do, because you are always looking for something good to do during Lent.
Yes.
Besides giving up chocolate.
That's... You know, that
my friend,
there is a line you have to draw, and that's another story.
Yeah, well, my friend Marcia Sue Loretta LeClaire, she gave up chocolate.
I'm very amazed. That's a difficult thing. I don't know if I could. I have given
and,
up.
I mean,
I've
we
given
were...
up salt.
Salt.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was very good. As a matter of fact, she was thinking about becoming a nun. Yes.
Really?
Yes. But she didn't quite make it. But,
well, there's always hope.
In fact, you
might make a good nun.
You seem
like such a nice person.
Well, thank you. I'm really appreciative of your kind words to me. Because
of course.
This is I'm really having a wonderful week here.
Good.
I've been getting ready for this 7th anniversary.
Oh, tell me about it.
And
a big anniversary coming up?
Yes, of Joy on Paper, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
I started 7 years ago. And on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, you know what? That must be why Sister Hildegard, I didn't know why she told me to wear these beads.
Because I started.
Stinker.
I started Joy on Paper on St. Patrick's Day. And, of course, it's going to be St. Patrick's Day on Thursday, and that's why I, again, have a 7th anniversary.
I'm going to gift you these beads.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, well, you know, I said to myself when I started this program, I remember when I talked to the owner here of the studio.
She's a nice lady.
She's
too.
A nice lady, mm-hmm. Lola, yes.
Yes.
And Lola said, well, you can start on Tuesday, and I didn't know, I didn't realize that it was St. Patrick's Day until a few days beforehand I realized, oh my goodness, not only is it a Tuesday, which is a very lucky day, and then it was St. Patrick's Day. I said, well, that's a day to start a radio program.
Yes.
And at the time, you know, I didn't know anything about radio. I didn't know, Big Ed in the control room.
Well, you certainly have learned.
Yes, well, Big Ed in the control room was really, I think, scared because he didn't know what I was going to do.
He's a big help.
I've
seen him in action.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And so, to start on St. Patrick's Day just turned out to be so good. And so now it's going to be 7 years. And in that time, I've spoken to almost 700 authors. 250 of them New York Times bestselling authors.
Ooh, I know.
And of course,
they live in my Kindle.
And so many 11 Mystery Writer of America grandmasters.
Oh my.
And of course, I am so thrilled.
That's impressive.
It is.
Yeah.
It is, you know.
Very.
And I even spoke to the Poet Laureate of the United States.
Oh, my heart be still.
And I love poetry, and I've even got Jim Lamb, who has joined Joy on Paper to do these wonderful literary gems.
He's
a poet. So I've been very, very fortunate and blessed.
Yes.
And I must say, blessed.
Yes. Well, yes, because you've probably been a good person all along.
Well,
Karma smiled on you.
Thank you, sister. It's been wonderful. And I think having you here just a few days before the anniversary makes
honored.
It a really, really special
and Sister
program.
Hildegard
and
also.
Sister Hildegard.
Our leader.
you both are wonderful.
Well, thank you.
And I know Rita owes so much to you.
Oh, she does. She does.
Yes, and she's aware of it. I think you remind
and
her.
And I remind her, if necessary.
Yes.
She's coming along. She's coming along.
She's coming along.
Mm-hmm.
And you've brought her along, and that's wonderful.
Thank you.
Pretty soon, I'm going to have a program in a few weeks with two people from Hollywood.
Ooh.
And I'm going to be talking about Rita's books to them.
You are?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, because...
her dream come true.
Yes, they
every author's dream.
Yes, they're going to come back to Joy on Paper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Peter Desberg and Jeffrey Davis. And they wrote this wonderful book called Pitch Like Hollywood.
Ooh.
And so
every author should learn. I have read a little bit about it. You have to be on your toes.
That's it.
You have to. Because you never know.
Exactly.
And it has to be quick. You can't like go on and on and on and on like a homily.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have them on the program.
Wonderful.
And one of the books that one of the authors I'm going to be talking about is Rita Moreau and Carol J. Perry.
Wonderful.
Because
wonderful.
They both deserve to have series with their wonderful books. So this is what I'm so happy that through these years, I've been able to make these connections.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, one author will recommend another author.
Oh.
The writing community is wonderful and generous
and kind. It is.
So I was very lucky that I met Carol J. Perry,
mm-hmm.
and of course, Rita here when she came to the studio when she wasn't so shy one day.
She comes to life. It's like an actress.
Yes.
She comes to life.
Yes.
I hear it in the book buzzes.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
When she does the book buzzes.
She's a different person.
A different person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just want to thank you. And you tell her how much I adore her.
Oh.
And
she is so grateful to you. She has told me.
Okay.
She prays for you, too.
Well, you know, everybody, this has been an absolutely wonderful day for me to have two wonderful guests in the studio. And then, again, I want to talk about, for 1 minute, about the Red Cross. Glenn Erickson, who does a commercial here every time for the Red Cross. He really is a great supporter of the Red Cross. And I know he would want me to tell you that if you're, you know, with this situation in the Ukraine,
very sad.
Please
very
donate.
Sad.
And
yes.
They need help.
By all
means. And I know that you and all of the sisters will be having all of these people in your prayers.
Definitely.
As we all do.
Yes, absolutely.
Because they are going through something that when you think about it, a few weeks ago, we thought this would be unimaginable.
Yes.
And now it's happening.
Something.
And
as they say, history repeats itself.
That's right. But we have to say our prayers and mm-hmm. make sure that you donate to the Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what we can do to help them, because it's a difficult, difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, join me on Thursday, because both Tasha Alexander and Andrew Grant will be joining me, and we're going to be announcing the Patsy Awards.
These are my first.
We were going to do it at the 5th anniversary, but things got a little crazy. And so the Patsy Awards, we're going to announce on Thursday,
and we
have some wonderful, wonderful...
I will tell the sisters.
Yes, and
yes.
It's going to be fantastic. Mm. So join me on Thursday for a very special program. And meanwhile, I'm going to tell you, and you know, you might take my advice too, I want to tell everyone that one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video,
wow,
or perhaps sir. A series on the Hallmark Channel.
Ooh.
Wow, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Oh.
And it could happen, but you have to start writing. Everybody,
yes.
Have a wonderful weekend, a blessed weekend.
Yes.
Thanks to both Sister Hildegard and Sister Matilda here today. They are blessing you all. And say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Big Ed.
Bye-bye
now.
Ed.
He saluted me. He saluted you too, Sister. Bye-bye
Thank
now.
You. Bye.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
It's time for the March Break Tuesday edition of Canada.